All right, page 160, Dying to Self by Serving Others. And I do want to start off this section just by saying how much I enjoy that this book does not pull its punches, right? How many other books you know that start off a section with Dying to Self by Serving Others? It's not really a lot of wiggle room in Dying to Self, is there? Section 1, we'll just jump right into it. It says, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given all the provisions you need for ministry. I'm just going to state these really shortly. A, B, and C are this. All of the provisions that you need for ministry are His Son, Jesus Christ. God has given you His Word, and God has sent His Spirit. Those are all of the provisions you need for ministry. His Son, His Word, and His Spirit. That is all you need. Number 2, God has a unique plan of ministry for you and for every other believer to fulfill. God gives at least one spiritual gift in addition to talents and abilities to every believer. These gracious provisions are not for your own use, but are to be used for service and edification in the body of Christ. I want you guys to highlight 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Continues on saying, each spiritual gift is sovereignly distributed by the will of the Holy Spirit, the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I want to say this. It's to my understanding that this is what Doug spoke about on Sunday morning. I didn't listen to his message before studying this. I often will go back and listen to his messages, but I'm in with the youth ministry or the children's ministry on Sunday morning, so we're usually studying something completely different. As I understand it, you guys were in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7, and this is something that you guys spoke about, that each one has received a gift. And it says, again in 1 Peter, kind of alongside that idea of Ephesians, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And there is a lot of controversy about the spiritual gifts. A lot of churches have divisions over the spiritual gifts. A lot of churches might say that you're not a true believer unless you speak in tongues. We don't believe that. A lot of churches might say that the spiritual gifts have ceased. We don't believe that either. We believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in the life of the believer through these things, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's three main things I want you guys to remember about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts or giftedness. We are to use our gifts to serve others, not ourselves. That's one out of these three things, three simple things I want you guys to remember. We are to use our gifts to serve others, not ourselves. All believers are gifted through the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are distributed according to God's will, not our preferences or natural abilities. So again, we are to use our gifts to serve others and not ourselves. All believers are gifted through the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are distributed according to God's will, not our preferences or natural abilities. Moving to B, God has given a variety of spiritual gifts to His children to accomplish a number of ministries in an effective and harmonious manner, consistent with the unity in the body of Christ. In the history of the church, God has sovereignly chosen and spiritually gifted leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to fulfill specific functions in the body of Christ. And in the life and history of the church, spiritual gifts have been granted to individuals for the benefit of the body of Christ and the glory of God. There are three main scripture passages listing these spiritual gifts, and the three passages and their lists are: 1, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, teaching, helps, administrations, and the speaking, and then the third list, which is, there's two in there, that's like the minimum for a list of things: speaking, the utterances of God, and service. But again, I want you to remember those three main things regarding the spiritual gifts. We use them to serve others, not ourselves. All believers are gifted through the Holy Spirit, and the gifts are distributed according to God's will, not our preferences or natural ability. And down to this third section. As a believer in Christ, you need to minister and are needed in ministry by the rest of the body of Christ. You become a good steward of God's grace as you use spiritual gifts to serve others. Faithfulness in ministry is expected, and you are to desire spiritual gifts to use your spiritual gift in an effective manner. The following guidelines for ministry are suggested. We could go through each of these things. I want you guys to go through them on your own, but I want you guys to jump down to number 4. It says, seek and take advantage of opportunities to minister, especially in areas that keep you in a Christ-like servant attitude before others. Through all of this, you know, I say everybody's going to be given spiritual gifts, but you're supposed to serve, and you shouldn't use your lack of giftedness to step up and to do something, to participate in ministry. But here we're talking about how your gifts are supposed to be used. You're supposed to be utilized where your gifts are. The reality is that the Lord will make it clear to you through serving others where you should be spending your time. You did not discover your gifts simply by doing nothing, or for waiting for them to be revealed to you, or by taking spiritual gift tests. And I'm really glad that this gets brought up. Spiritual gift tests. I abhor them. I don't like spiritual gift tests. I can understand the idea of really wanting to know. I want to know, how has God gifted me? I can understand that sentiment. Wanting to know how you ought to be utilized in the body of Christ. Here's my issue with spiritual gift tests, is that they present too great an opportunity for pride. Too great an opportunity for pride. I can answer these questions for a desirable gift. Oh, well, this may not be true of me, but I want it to be true of me. So I'm going to answer like that for a desirable gift. Or I could answer questions for a favorable gift. Well, I see these people don't have to serve as often as these people. Or the tech team doesn't have to clean toilets, and I really don't want to clean toilets. So. Or I really want to be up front in front of people. So I'm going to sign up for the notices, something like that. I could answer my questions for a favorable gift. Or I could disqualify myself, or even qualify myself for something that I don't prefer by answering a specific way. Right? For something I prefer or don't prefer by answering a specific way. Well, these are my preferences. I don't really want to be doing these. I want to be doing these. So I'm going to answer this way. I see them serving like that, and they have this type of attitude and this type of a personality. So I'm not like that, so I'm not going to do that, right? Doug and I were talking about this earlier. If you were going to pick desirable qualities for a pastor would probably be extroverted. People who like to be around people. Let's say this. I like people. It just tires me out, right? Extroverted people, they get energy from being around people. Introverted people, they don't get energy from being around people. They get energy from being alone. So it would seem to me that a desirable quality of a pastor would be an extrovert. Neither Doug or I are extroverted. Both of us are very introverted. We appreciate our alone time. In fact, this past year for my birthday, what I asked Becky for was just alone time. I just want alone time, right? Definitely not a quality you would pick if you were going to, on paper, write down, you know, the building blocks, the personality building blocks for a pastor, right? There's too much room, too much opportunity for pride in these spiritual gift tests. You have to be somebody who's already able to be completely honest with you. And then on top of that, the test itself has to not be biased, right? Just too inaccurate, too unclear. No, in fact, we discover our gifts simply by serving. Now, can the Lord speak to you and you know, speak to you directly and tell you what your gifts are? Certainly. Is that going to be the large experience for everybody? And I'll also say this. We need to be careful of saying, well, the Lord told me that this is my gift, so I'm going to do nothing else, and I'm only going to do that. Because didn't the Lord tell you to not serve other people in this capacity or that capacity? I have to be really careful putting words into God's mouth. Be really careful putting words in God's mouth. I want to say this, that we discover our gifts by simply serving where we are able and letting the Lord lead us and guide us through those things by showing us where we will be most effective. Let's not be people who assume that before we even try, we're effective or ineffective in whatever ministry. Far be it for us to make decisions for God. Let's not make decisions for God as to where we should serve and shouldn't serve. If you are able, then the encouragement is to do it. Right? Your encouragement is to do it. If it doesn't work out, God's not going to be like, oh, sorry, you can't serve in the body of Christ. No, sorry, you're not good enough. It doesn't work like that, right? You and I might not know whether in the body of Christ you're a hand or a foot or a knee or an ear or a mouth. But I'll tell you something, the foot will find out real quick that it's not a hand by trying to do what the hand does, right? Real quick. Also, I want to highlight the idea of serving with a Christ-like attitude, no matter if we are in an area where we enjoy it or not. Sometimes you're effectual in an area where you're not necessarily enjoying it, but I want to remind you guys that we don't use our emotions to dictate our life. We're going to close by highlighting Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Sorry, let me find it for you really quickly. I wrote down to highlight it, and I forgot to write down. Oh, there it is. It's just an A. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Under section 3, A, at the end of A, Ephesians chapter 4, on page 161. Oh, I believe that. Oh, yeah, it's in B as well. And probably C. Well, there we go. Highlight them all. There you go. It's real important. This is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Oh, sorry, this is not what Ephesians 4:16 says. This is what I wanted to say about Ephesians 4:16. That's not my phone. So sorry, this is the only verse, of course, that I didn't copy and paste into here. Give me just 1 second. Oh, no, just kidding. No, that is the verse. Okay, cool. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want you guys to imagine if parts of your body did not operate together. If you're about to eat a really yummy donut, you have it holding it in your hand and your mouth is open, ready to receive it, and you shove it straight into your forehead. All right? Well, that's useless. If you're going to sit down, I'm going to sit down. And as I'm going to sit down, my hand reaches down, grabs the seats, and whips it out from under me. Right? That's what it's like if the body of Christ isn't operating to edify itself. If you're not serving the body. Right? You're shoving donuts into your forehead and taking chairs out from under you. The body of Christ ought to be in harmony as your body is, working together. The hand doing what the hand does, the foot doing what the foot does, the mouth doing what the mouth does, ears doing what the ears do. Imagine a church in which we do not wait to be served, but instead take initiative and are constantly seeking to serve one another. This is always the example I would give the youth. If everybody in this room was seeking to serve themselves, how many times over are you taken care of? One, right? Because you're serving yourself. But if each of us would look out for one another and serve one another, how many times over then are you taken care of? Many times over, right? This is the way in which God wants the body of Christ to operate. Serving one another. So let's take initiative, constantly seeking to serve one another. It's vital that we as a church heed Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. In the next lesson, we're going to learn about the problems of anger and bitterness. We will be addressing those immediately following this lesson because those two are so widespread, especially among those who have a strong focus on self. But again, I want you guys to encourage you guys, take initiative. A bit of a praise report. We've seen a very strong response from the congregation when it comes to serving. We've had, in the past 2 weeks, we've had 5 new people come up and want to serve for children's ministry, which is just praise the Lord, because it's so chaotic in there. For those of you who have kids, know, and those of you who serve know that it is chaotic. So this upcoming term, we're going to get a lot more people on the roster, which is super exciting. Same for slides and audio and things like that. We've had a few people step up. But don't use that as an excuse, eh? There is always need. Always room. We could have every single person in the church doing something, serving, no matter how big or how small, right? We can all be serving one another. Cool. That's all I have for you. So let's pray and we'll close out the night. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to speak to us about these things. Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to step out. Help us to not focus on our fears and anxieties, Lord, but to focus on you, Lord. And help us to have a desire to serve, not for our own reasons, Lord, but to serve you, ultimately. Lord, help us to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to shape us and mold us and help us to unlearn the things that we're meant to unlearn and that we may have learned in our past, Lord, and not build excuses for ourselves, Lord, but instead step out boldly knowing that we are empowered by you, Lord, to serve one another. Lord, I pray that you would build your church, that you would grow us and that you would edify us, Lord, deeper and deeper in relationship with you, Lord. Love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just wanted to say lined up so well with what we've been studying on Wednesday nights. I'd like to say I planned it that way, but I had no clue that it would do that. I was talking to Joe. I'm like, I wish I could say I was smart and like I worked this out, but honestly, it's the Spirit. I think sometimes the Lord wants to just teach us and affirm those things to us. And you know, all of these things lining up so perfectly to me is the Spirit really just wanting to impress these things on our hearts even more deeply. So just as Joe was speaking, I just wanted to share, you know, just really give attention to these things. It's not by accident, even though we kind of stumbled into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord's just really wanting these things to be impressed upon our hearts. So I just wanted to add that. Thanks, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Good.